The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome again. Seems to be the first day of 2024. Wishing you a joyful and dharmic new year. And as I mentioned, it's the custom at IMC. I've seen Gil give the first, I think, Sunday talk of the year is on the Four Noble Truths. So inspired by that, we'll take up that same topic this week. In the context of the teaching lineages of Buddhist mindfulness, the Four Noble Truths, of course, hold a central place. The tradition holds that the Four Noble Truths were the content of the Buddha's first teaching after his awakening. The one helpful thing for us is that the Four Noble Truths can be a sort of summary of so much of the teaching, or they can serve as a framework that connects so many parts of the teaching. So there's that really big scope. And then there's also, I find that the Four Noble Truths have this impressive degree of application. They can be applied as an understanding that's so helpful in a wide variety of the circumstances of our life. So maybe with the Four Noble Truths in the background, one of Gil's slogans is that if you want to be free, study where you get stuck. So that means we will have to study where we get stuck. And that's exactly what the Four Noble Truths are asking of us. So to start understanding the Four Noble Truths, one helpful thing to know is that the Buddha was one of his names, one of the ways he was referred to as the great physician. And the Four Noble Truths are set up seemingly to follow in that medical model of his time. So four parts. You've got the ailment. You have the second, which is the basis or the condition or the cause. The third is the prognosis. And the fourth is the treatment, medical model. So let's correlate these with the Four Noble Truths. The first, the ailment, dukkha, suffering, stress. We're going to get to know this much more today. Second noble truth correlates with the basis, the cause, the condition. This is the arising of dukkha. And in the dharmic terms, we say it's the craving that leads to further becoming. And we'll unpack that some more tomorrow. Third noble truth correlates with the prognosis, and that is this wonderful fact that the cessation of suffering is possible. The cessation of that same craving that leads to further becoming. It can end. That's amazing. And then the fourth noble truth correlates to the course of treatment. So the path of practice that leads to the cessation of suffering. So you can pretty easily see the correlation with the ancient medical model here. Something that's very interesting and makes the Four Noble Truths not just an abstract set of ideas, but locates them in our lives, is this fact that each of the Four Noble Truths has an associated task or a duty or a practice. And as we go throughout the week, we'll talk each day about one of the truths and its associated task. And today we're looking at the first noble truth, and its associated task is to understand or to comprehend suffering. So let's zoom in a bit on this first noble truth. So the task of the first noble truth being to understand dukkha, suffering and stress. It bears mentioning here that it's the nature of the path that our understanding will be partial all the way along until full awakening. It said that if we fully understand in its depths, dukkha to its bottom, then that precipitates awakening. So I mention this now that our understanding will be partial as actually a bit of encouragement that let's not be too hard on ourselves for having a partial understanding. We're all doing our best with the understanding we have. So to talk about how we might develop in terms of understanding dukkha, I want to borrow an analogy, and that is the Appalachian Trail. And I'm going to use this to point to three different modes of developing an understanding. So say you wanted to hike the Appalachian Trail. First layer would be, of course, it would be great to read about it. Number one, you might find out that the Appalachian Trail is X miles or kilometers long, or that it has these certain features. The second mode of developing an understanding would be reflection on what you learn. You could reflect on the features of the trail. You might reflect on your own capacities as a hiker, and see that this trail is appropriate for you for right now and your level of skill. And this does something really important, which is gives us the confidence that yes, I can do this. So that it's this reflection that really gets to know what you've learned and then gives you some confidence. And then the third mode of developing understanding is to walk the path for yourself. And this is the sort of cultivated wisdom that only comes by, let's say, getting your boots dirty. So similarly, in developing an understanding of the Dharma, and for today, developing an understanding of the First Noble Truth, you can start in this first mode by reading, or in this case, listening to the teachings, in such a way that begin to understand, oh, this is what the Buddha meant when he talked about suffering and stress. This is what all of these centuries of teachers have been talking about. This is it. Then the second mode would look like a certain reflection on what you learn in terms of your own experience. One of the things that this opens up, this mode of reflection, is this realization that, oh, the Dharma is right here. The Dharma is right here in my life, not somewhere else. This is where I can learn, reflect, and practice. It's this actual suffering. It's not some suffering in the abstract. And then that opens the way for the third mode of developing understanding. That is to practice directly, walk the path for ourselves. The one teacher put this concisely and beautifully that it's our problems, actually, that are our meditation hall. It's our problems, actually, that are our meditation hall. So let's go just a little bit further into each of these three. This first mode of understanding, in terms of the First Noble Truth, is to hear and learn the teaching. So this is a moment when I'll pull straight from the text one of the definitions of dukkha, suffering and stress. This is from, for those who like the sutta references, Middle Length Discourses 141. The Buddha says, what is the noble truth of stress? Birth is stressful. Aging is stressful. Death is stressful. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, distress, and despair are stressful. Not getting what is wanted is stressful. In short, the five clinging aggregates are stressful. For today, I'm really interested in highlighting one of these, and that is not getting what one wants is stressful. This is a sort of First Noble Truth that is so visible, applicable. I mean, who of us cannot relate to not getting what we want from time to time? And here again, we see this characteristic of the Buddha's teaching that it's this dukkha that's evident and applicable and visible and understandable, just right here in our lives. In my understanding, to broaden this teaching a bit, by dukkha, suffering and stress, the Buddha means the entire array of suffering and stress, from the very obvious physical pain or emotional distress, all the way to existential fear, to death itself, and to very subtle, perhaps pervasive dis-ease. It's this whole spectrum of experiences. This might sound like a pessimistic start to a very important teaching, but let's remember that it's right here in our problems that the Dharma unfolds. And the Buddha didn't solely teach suffering, just suffering, but taught a path and an assurance that its ending is possible. So this second mode of understanding, reflection, I want to highlight especially not getting what one wants and tell you just a brief story. And as I get into the story, maybe a moment just to reflect for yourself if there's been a recent time that you didn't in fact get what you wanted. And then how that went. How was that for you? My story went something like this. And it was about 2 weeks ago. I traveled to my home state to visit family for the holiday. I had all kinds of expectations. These visions of days in the kitchen with my family and visits with my siblings and their spouses. It wasn't long after I got there that expectation met reality, and they didn't match. But presumably on the plane, despite my care, I got sick. And a few days after the arrival, I found I was quite sick and had to spend most of the holiday without my family. Not what I expected. Expectation met reality, and they did not match. It meant that I couldn't be in the same home as my vulnerable parents, and all of this vision and expectation. These things that I'd been looking forward to, they became impossible. I wasn't getting what I wanted. Now, right here, if we really want to pile dukkha upon dukkha, this is our opportunity to compound our misfortune. So we could sort of double down on our expectations and make our desires into demands. Maybe this is a place where we can see any underlying tendencies of aversion, not getting what we want, and just like trying to assert that aversion will annihilate this reality that I'm experiencing. Or maybe the underlying tendency is to ignore. These are all possibilities, but right here where we're not getting what we want, this is so precious because it can reveal to us, oh, what's happening underneath the surface? And because of the power of our mindfulness practice, we know that bringing a balanced, open, wise attention to all of the circumstances of life helps to grow the beautiful. Interestingly, what's expected and what arises when they don't match, actually, there doesn't have to be suffering there. That's an amazing power of mindfulness that can grow our confidence. And this is exactly how we go from the second mode of understanding to the third mode of understanding. By studying our suffering right here in the specifics of our life, right here. And we can learn from the dukkha itself, the suffering and stress itself. We can learn when the dukkha actually doesn't arise when we expected it to arise. Or we can learn from that process of being with dukkha, understanding it, seeing it, observing it, reflecting on it, and then watching it fade and let go. It won't be here with us forever. So, to conclude briefly, the task of the First Noble Truth is to understand dukkha, and we can practice it in these three modes: hearing and learning, reflecting, and cultivating and developing. This is the beginning of an ennobling path of the Four Noble Truths. And we'll talk more as we carry on tomorrow with the Second Noble Truth. Take care. Wishing you a happy new year.